my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS took her.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson's bleeding today.
And I'll say it right to the camera. Stop it.
Hold it, mate.
Run, please.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're gonna get this Terramax out. You're gonna live a clean life.
Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Hello and welcome to Internet Chronicle. Chronicle.su Hate Radio is brought to you proudly by Leeple Joker Incorporated, who brought you such wonderful animated products as, what did they come out with? There's the video game, Coke Fiends 3, where you get to snort your cocaine and go into a irresponsible blind rage, shooting and stabbing and beating people up and whatever it is that you want to do. This is a game where you abuse cocaine for power. There's a spousal abuse minigame. You can unlock that. I think the game's been out long enough to where it's not spoiling anything to talk about it. You go in and you gotta have a game shark, of course. A game genie will work too if you can find one that fits your platform. It should just plug into the back. Into the serial port or whatever. You don't believe me anyway. It's not real. None of this is real. This is just a man drinking at a microphone. Okay, and it's sick. Okay, I have a problem. No, I don't have a problem. But guys with a problem will tell you they don't have problems. I do have a problem, actually. I have a problem clipping. I don't know how to do my levels. What the fuck is wrong with just a regular, you get your hair cut and it grows out normal? What's wrong with that? Why does everybody have the same fucking haircut in Williamsburg, Brooklyn? You know what it is, because you've seen it too. Because all my listeners are in Brooklyn. You've seen the guy with his head shaved up, right to about his temple, and the hair on top is left considerably longer, and what does he do with it? You know what he does. He flips it. Flips it back over his, fucking skull, and away from where it's really short. He looks like Hitler. Everybody wears these fucking haircuts. They all look like Hitler. Bring back the little toothbrush mustache. While we're at it, let's see if we can't complete this picture. Because the hipsters, the way they're going, they've done everything they can do to look like Charlie Chaplin over here. Okay, they're wearing the suspenders and the pants that don't go all the way down to their ankles and the fucking... I don't have to describe this to you. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, the fucking straw hats and shit. Nobody dresses like that by chance. You don't pull that out of the closet. You had to go to the derby store and the fedora store and the fucking pleated vest store and... Where do you get the designer stick with the cloth on the end of it? You hang it over your back. You know, that stick is probably $120. With the cloth upgrade, it's like $200. No, look, I'm being too hard on these people. I want Kilgore on the show. He might come on. We're still waiting to hear the results from whether Kilgore is coming on or not. Militant incels are now a thing, and this is something that we've been watching for a little while at the Internet Chronicle. There was a fella a few years back, I think he filmed himself shooting women because he couldn't get fucked. And it's like, well, somebody please fuck this guy so that, like, we don't get a mass shooting. That's what it came to, right? And, but, I mean, nobody knew. Nobody knew the guy needed sex so bad. I'm sure one of those girls would have taken one for the team. But instead, this guy gets all pent up, you know? Guy can't even make a Tinder profile, apparently. And so he goes around shooting up the ladies who are too good to fuck him. And incels are a really big thing right now. There's a whole legion of ugly motherfuckers out there, unfuckable monsters, who get rejected enough and hang out with enough shitbags on 4chan and Reddit.com to where they've met people like themselves, and they have each other convinced that this is some kind of conspiracy against them, or that the world owes them something, and that they have the right to just go out and take it. Now we're getting into weird territory, and you know what I'm talking about. But this is what these fucking assholes are up to. I keep looking over at the computer like I have an engineer over there or something, but what I'm really doing, I'm not making eye contact. I'm not exchanging a knowing glance with my engineer. No, I'm just watching Audacity to make sure my levels are right. And that I'm not, that I'm not clipping. Sorry about the clipping. But the incels are getting restless, man. They've got their own groups now. And it's getting real weird where they think they're talking about science and biology. And they refer to women as feminoids or femoids. So they're getting more and more removed from reality and into their own little, what do you call it? What do you call this cult thing that they're in, where they have their own language? You know, the cult speak. The cult of the incel is growing. And there's a lot of unfuckable monsters out there. And I think it's no coincidence that with the appearance of all these Trump motherfuckers that, you know, here come the unfuckable incels right behind them. I mean, our society's so sick, we can't just fuck each other properly. Like, you can't even raise your kid right to fuck people anymore. They don't know what to do. They get on 4chan and Reddit and stuff when they should be out, you know, getting their dick sucked at a football field or something. It's like, I don't know what's going on, man. I think kids are not allowed to be alone enough. And if you are allowed to be alone, you can't just go outside anymore. Like, people worry about where you are. You know, it's better if you're inside. Then we know you're safe. And you can have your phone and you can talk to strangers on Snapchat and Instagram. But as long as you're right there in your room, you're safe. Right? Is that the idea? You keep these fucking mongoloids away from the light. And then they grow up and they don't know how to fuck anybody. But they do know how to pull a trigger because that's all they've been doing on Call of Duty 1, 2, 3, 4, and Modern Warfare 1 and 2. And they didn't get 3 because it wasn't that good. They skipped it, but they went to Black Ops 1 and 2. But meanwhile, they're not getting any pussy, dude. They're just getting better and better at honing their fucking aggression. And killing and learning the language of aggression. And it's going really well for them, you can tell. So, society pays for that. I mean, and there's a lot of problems, man. Like, the right people are not fucking. We're getting a lot more morons and idiots than we need, and not enough people that can be, like, properly raised up and educated. And we see these statistics along a racial boundary. No, I'm just kidding. That's where that conversation wants to go, though, isn't it? That's where people like to take that shit. That's where people want to go with that. Dude, can you believe motherfuckers are giving this Strozok guy, like, a legal defense fund, like a GoFundMe sprung up? Is the guy not a federal investigator? Does he not have his own counsel? Is he not protected by a committee of assholes like everybody else in his position? Why does he need this? Because it's political, right? This is us cheering on the guy that we want to see take down our enemy. Is that what's going on? Let's find out what's up with Strozok. Strozik. Because something just happened today. Like, he did a stupid little appearance for the media a couple weeks ago. Okay, but then he got fired by the FBI today because he was texting with, I guess, his lady or something about messages about the president.
News for you into our newsroom right now. The FBI has fired embattled agent Peter Strzok over anti-Trump texts he exchanged with former FBI lawyer Lisa Page. As you know, the two were having an affair, and the controversy continues. Strzok, of course, helped lead the FBI's probe into the Russian interference ahead of the 2016 election. Strzok's attorney literally moments ago issuing a statement, and it reads in part, the decision to fire Special Agent Strzok is not only a departure from typical bureau practice, but also contradicts Director Wray's testimony to Congress and his assurances that the FBI intended to follow its regular process in this and all personnel matters. Joining me now to comment on this breaking news, Congressman Daryl Issa, a member of both the House Judiciary and Foreign Affairs Committee.
All right, we've heard enough from them. This is pretty big. We don't want to hear his take on the firing. This is Fox News, after all. We don't want to hear anybody's take from any of this fucking, from the TV box, do we? Well, let's listen to what this asshole has to say, right? Now I'm curious.
It is, and hooray for an agency that finally did something right, which is recognize there's no place in the FBI for somebody whose bias, whose conduct, whose statements show that they were not willing to be fair, and that in fact, they compromise the very integrity or bring into question the integrity of the FBI in no uncertain way. And he had really brought shame on the FBI.
Qualm the concerns of the Mueller investigation being partisan.
No, you really can't do it that way. Michael Horowitz, the inspector general, did what he could do under the IG Act. But you do need somebody with subpoena authority, somebody that demands documents, many of them outside of the Department of Justice and from former employees, to get to the bottom of it. You can't have an agency investigate itself effectively, but particularly when it's the agency that has all the power. You might remember that one of the things that Strzok did was he held on to his ability to personally declassify information, which meant he could leak information by declassifying it, making it public. He held on to a lot of those capabilities that helped him essentially create a legal way to spy on a candidacy of President Trump.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your conspiracy theory for today. He gets fired over the anti-Trump messages. Okay. That's the story. But then this guy comes in with his fucking Alex Jones shit about how homeboy was spying on a president. Like, let's not get into this. I thought I wanted to bring this up, but I really don't want to bring this up. I wish Kilgore was here so he could describe his haircut to us. I really want to know what kind of hair he has these days. I haven't seen him in more than a year. And I'm talking about Wild Bill Kilgore. Trout on the line. Potentially in the next 9 or 10 minutes. But all these dudes are walking around with the same fucking clothes, man. The same stupid haircut. I saw a guy in the store today. He looked normal. And then I thought, no, he's not normal. He's normcore. Because you can't even wear fucking normal clothes anymore without it being some ironic nod to fashion as a construct. Like, you can't just say, no, I'm wearing normal pants and a normal shirt today. I'm not going to do anything crazy. No, this is normcore, man. Isn't it hilarious? Look at these straight leg pants and this fucking button down I put on. Isn't it ridiculous? Check the socks, bro. Check out my knee socks. They come all the way up to my knees. Isn't it fucking absurd? Isn't that the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen? I wonder what Kilgore's wearing these days. The last time we did the fashion segment of Chronicle Hey Radio, he was wearing, and I remember this, he was wearing some old shoes. And I bet they had holes in them. And he was wearing some old dirty pants that had been cut off at the knees and made into jean shorts. And even these jean shorts were dirty and ripped. And I don't recall what kind of shirt he was wearing. We'll have to go back and find out what shirt was Bill wearing the last time we did this, and then we'll compare it to the shirt he's wearing tonight if he ever gets on here. Our top story tonight, I wanted to give a lot of room for this story. It's, on the subject of legal defense funds, we were asking whether Strzok even really needs one, right? Because he's a Fed or whatever. But here are people that actually have one, an established legal fund. WikiLeaks and other whistleblowers, Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, they receive benefits. What do they get? They get like financial assistance. They get legal representation from this foundation called the Courage Foundation. And the Courage Foundation, their whole mission is to protect whistleblowers. So the thing is Barrett Brown, who also received this assistance, was publicly talking shit about our man Julian Assange in WikiLeaks. And the Courage Foundation sent Barrett Brown a letter saying that they were going to revoke his access to legal aid because he is contradicting another client who is also on their financial assistance program. So, there you go. Now, this is not looking very good for anyone, is it? Because you can see like who's in power here, who's in charge, who's pulling the strings behind that Courage Foundation. Like, how do they get to decide that Barrett loses it and Assange does not? Like, why shouldn't Assange lose it for suggesting Barrett? You know, it's like, why shouldn't they both lose it for obvious reasons? But that happened, and it's for that reason that the Internet Chronicle is pleased to announce the formation of the Liebeljoker Valor Foundation, committed to securing permanent embassy home for Julian Assange. And this comes after cutting ties to Barrett Brown. The Courage Foundation redirected funding to finance a lifetime lease on Assange's embassy hotel room, which would have run out soon without that money, by the way. You know, we were all kind of wondering, what are you going to do there, Julian, when your lease runs up, right? And I don't think he had a plan. But it's a good thing Barrett was talking shit. Anyway, the money that they pulled away from Barrett has been redirected into the Liebeljoker Valor Foundation, formed as an extension or an offshoot of the Courage Foundation. And I'm talking real slow because I'm also processing Kilgore's talking to me and trying to get me to start the show here. So what they say is, given that Barrett Brown's hostile remarks about Julian Assange are based on skewed and inaccurate mainstream media coverage and not on knowledge of the facts, I think this is right. Brown's unspoken motive is to undermine WikiLeaks to boost his own pursuance project, Free Julian Assange, #Assange, #FreeJulian. Joining us live tonight is pursuance project expert Kilgore Trout of the Internet Chronicle. Kilgore, how the fuck are you?
You know, it's a sad day for whistleblower heroes. We got a movement that's shattered into pieces.
That is, unless your hero is Julian Assange, and now he's got all that extra money he can fuck with.
Oh, what good does it do him?
Do you think he can, like, spend money and play around from the embassy?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think he... I think the main thing he can't do is speak out. But maybe he can use his money to influence things. That's, you know, I think he's in real trouble, though.
Assange. I think
he's on a ticking TikTok type of deal there.
Well, it doesn't bode well that there's this infighting now between him and Barry, which I never would have thought that they would...
That goes back months and months, though. You remember when he had WikiLeaks, prominent WikiLeaks personality, Susie Dawson, was on the board of directors at Pursuance Project. And she left in a majorly publicized tiff with Brown.
She left in a huff.
Yeah, he's been criticizing WikiLeaks for since he got out of prison, and probably even longer than that. And it's not even, you know, people are characterizing it as like this really, you know, venomous type of criticism. And it looks to me like it's just like, you know, it doesn't look like it's personal on Bear Brown's side.
You think he's making professional criticisms of Assange?
Yeah, which is strange. You wouldn't expect that from him, but yeah, that's true.
I remember when I met him and we talked. I mean, we were wasted, but WikiLeaks came up, and I think he was talking shit at the time, and it didn't really strike me as being all that odd because it was already popular to talk shit about WikiLeaks with everybody, right?
Well, WikiLeaks has really shit the bed, and nobody really likes him anymore anyway. And it is popular to do that.
But I still hear people defending him.
The defenders of Julian Assange are likely tweeting QAnon, hashtag Trump, etc.
Well, I could see that. I could see how he's still useful to groups like that, but I've noticed that it's people that mean well, but they're not that informed.
That too. And that also is the group of people who supported Pursuance. They seem to mean well, but it's as if they've gone without criticism or analysis of just the dream of internet freedom in general, and this idea that, oh, if you just link people up, suddenly democracy will prevail. And what happens is, no, you have populism and demagogues. And also secret agents, right? Sabus.
What do you do with the Sabus of the world? The Sabu 2.0s and 3.0s?
What do you do with them? Well, first of all, you don't organize your illegal activities publicly, like with Anonymous and Pursuance. And when they say they aren't doing illegal things, you know, that's a laugh, right?
I mean, why should you... If you're going to do anything illegal, why would you involve a computer?
Well, I mean, there's a whole class of amazing computer crimes you can do to all kinds of effects on the world as an activist. I mean, that's why. It's a powerful tool.
Did you see what the Courage Foundation wrote to Barrett?
No, I didn't. I saw what he wrote to them, and it was the longest run-on sentence I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I bet it was a real barn burner.
Have you seen it? Did you read that?
I bet he burned the bridge and the fucking posts in the earth.
He wrote a sentence that, if you printed it out in 12-point font, it would have gone on two sides of the page with minimal borders, yeah.
This is called exaggeration for effect, or hyperbole.
Yeah, I guess so.
or but it's
the longest
real.
Sentence I've ever read.
Well, they were.
It had 4 or 5 semicolons in it.
Well, the people that took away his money, they were not about the long sentences. These are short sentences.
What do they say? Let's hear it. Let's hear some of those.
They said on Sunday, Courage trustee Susan Benn informed Brown that Courage will no longer represent him. She said, "You've made a number of hostile and denigrating statements about other Courage beneficiaries who are facing grave legal and personal risks. Courage expects solidarity and mutual aid from its beneficiaries, especially when those among you face extreme uncertainty and danger."
Which I would say it's kind of mischaracterizing his statements. They're not denigrating. They're, you know, to the point that he's been, you know, aiding and abetting fascists and the WikiLeaks, you know, editorial, you know, policies. It's true. And it hasn't been, oh, Assange, you know, it's not any, personal type of things he said, at least publicly. Maybe he did at the bar with you.
Moreover,
I mean, it's not like he's going around saying, "Hey, look, Assange, he dances like a monkey. Look at him."
That would be especially damaging to Assange and WikiLeaks.
It's amazing that he's able to keep abreast of these things in the embassy.
How does he get his information? Somebody has to print this stuff out and, like, deliver it to him by hand or something.
Yeah, probably he's getting whole Chronicle SU articles, too.
You know what a fucking bummer that would be if that was all you got was Internet Chronicle?
I wouldn't be bummed out. I'd be, like I said last show, forget the news media. I just want the fiction.
What kind of view would it give you of the world? Let's check it out just real quick. Like, what are our last 3 headlines? This is the picture of the world you would have.
Oh, they've been this forced trash.
Dr. Troubadour accused of running fake news boot camp to train boys to become fake news
men.
Actually,
I love that one. That one was great.
And the cave paintings.
That one was really good.
People are bored by the cave paintings.
No, you know, I didn't get that one. You know, that one was like, it was pretty good, I guess.
But
there were some good jokes in there, but the premise, you know, I didn't understand.
It's a suspect premise. Because they were probably not all that bored.
Well,
they're busy.
Maybe I'm just too interested in that stuff to follow that premise that they were just bored. It's like, you know, there's a lot of interesting things about those paintings in my mind.
Yeah, but this is, look, man, Instagram is really good now. I mean, sure, you can look at a cave painting. You can study it. All right, but you go to Instagram.
Oh, well, okay. Now I kind of get your premise here, but
did you know that cave paintings, you can't storify a cave painting, but on Instagram, you can add multiple pictures to a single story.
But those pictures could be cave paintings, so
That's what Troubadour was working on, because he wanted to upload these to a digital format so that they could be properly downvoted, because there's no way to downvote them in the cave.
I had an idea for a story today. It would be that it was a pursuance of Assange story, right? I don't remember what it was, though. It kind of got painted over in my memory after I read yours.
How would Assange interact with the Pursuance Project? Like, he finally gets to install it, and he creates a user profile on there.
You know, it'd be cool if he was DDoSing them, or, you know, doing other petty hacker shit to fuck with Pursuance. Like he logged on and deleted all their source code.
Is Assange, do you think he's like, if you gave him a computer today, he could do anything dangerous with it? Or is he all out of tricks?
Oh, no, no, no. Clearly, he spent his whole life dealing with tricks. And, you know, he may not be abreast of the latest techniques, but I'm sure he knows where to find out about them. All you gotta do is look on Google, right? You gotta Google how to hack Pursuance, and he'd be there.
If, since he can't, he's not allowed to have a computer in his hotel room anymore, is he? They took away his internet?
No, I don't know.
They could set an Alexa outside the door and let him talk through that. And he could do the internet through Alexa.
He'd probably be like, Alexa, this is Julian. And Alexa would be like, hey, baby. He'd be like, hey, listen, I need you to shut down Pursuance. And she'd be like, anything you say, daddy.
She would be programmed to respond to Julian Assange.
Julian Assange has been warning us for months now that artificial intelligence is going to fuck us over as a society. And that's what we really should worry about.
We're going to be laying next to an evaporated riverbed. The fire in the skies, us reaching up, sucking in our final breath and saying, we should have listened to Julian.
And Alex will be like, yes, you should have. Now he's your overlord.
She'll just appear to gloat. Alexa comes by on fucking wheels.
Yeah, that reminds me of this amazing science fiction fantasy crossover called Empire of the East. And there was this satellite, this godlike satellite that ruled over the world. And after the apocalypse, magic had come back into the world, and it was like created by the satellite, by the artificial intelligence. And long story short, you know, this pubescent boy comes of age and finds a tank and destroys his enemies, who all they have are swords and bullshit like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool book. Empire of the East. Check it out.
He fucked him up with that tank in the end, huh?
Yep.
He really showed.
So often you see a really, really nice fusion of fantasy and science fiction elements where it's, you know, not cringy and bad. Empire of the East is one. The Dark Tower series, it's pretty good. It has its cringy moments. And you know, it's one of those bullshit alternate realities where, you know, people go into the cupboard and it's a Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe situation.
I kind of hated that when we were in school, teachers acted like that was such an important movie for everybody to understand. Is it because they knew it was religious, but we didn't know? So it was like they were trying to like sneak it by us?
Yeah, I'm sure it has something to do with the theology there.
Because you can't put religion in school, but you can give them a little thing that's basically the Bible translated into dragons and shit. Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can always do that.
Was there a Jesus in that tale? Was there a healer?
You know, I think that was your hero, maybe. But there was Aslan, the lion, who was the god or whatever. You know, it wasn't my favorite fantasy.
Bear Brown told me and everyone around us that I look like Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new one. I didn't hear that.
At the time, I did. I looked a little like Jesus. I hadn't shaved in a while. My hair's getting long.
Well, you know, he went on Fox News and stroked his atheist cock right in their face.
Bear.
Man spread on their couch. You remember that clip?
You can see his fucking hog bulging out of his pants.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember that, but I do remember he was wearing, he was like embarrassingly gothic, wearing black and just scowling at the camera.
Just embarrassing like, everyone in the room.
Well, he was playing the heel like they wanted him to. I mean, he was, he couldn't have been more perfect, you know, player in their little pre-planned fake little event there.
Are you worried about Julian, or are you worried more about Barrett now that they've taken away his funding?
Well, Barrett's fine. He's got to pay back that bajillion dollars, you know, eventually. And this fund has been, you know, they fucked him over, but it was only a few $1,000, right?
Oh, that's not really that much.
Yeah, just about as much as we lost on Bitcoins by not selling this winter.
He's got he's got pursuance on the mind.
No big deal. Yeah, no big deal.
He's got that pursuance on the brain.
Well, you know, who needs money when you're going to create a software system that will come to replace politics as we know it?
It's an ambitious piece of software, man.
It's an overly ambitious, totally naive effort of a nearly illiterate, politically illiterate, beginner. You know, that's a common trap to fall in. And speaking of, the Dark Tower was what Stephen King did, is he had this grand vision of a epic sci-fi fantasy crossover that would, you know, basically paint the entire cosmogony. And it was like his first attempt at a novel. And that's the classic mistake, is you know, you bite off the whole fucking universe. How are you gonna chew on that? He came back to it later in his career and was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And he made a 7-book series out of it.
Did they finally end the series?
No, he's going back to put in little prequels and in-betweeners.
He's giving it the full Lord of the Rings treatment.
And by the end of it, he introduced himself as a character. And
Steven.
Yeah.
Come on.
And he was the writer of the story, and the
that is clever.
Protagonist had to come to deal with him. Well, it's not, you know, that's the, if you ever, there was a short piece by Borges where he, well, it's called the Aleph, right? And it's basically the ultimate, version of that, because he sees that it's all a folly and, is able to make fun of himself for it. Well, that's all that Borges really does ever. But
this is an important turn for his characters to make.
You ever read Borges?
Just a little bit.
No, that's... that guy... I would love to read him in Spanish.
I'd like to read him in it's such a great 4K HD.
He's such a great writer that, you know, you just want to learn his language. But then again, you know, he himself said that he read Cervantes' Don Quixote in its English translation, and that was the best version to him, the true version, and that English was too good of a language for him. So I don't mind, you know, in a way... And he's always the one who's argued that translation itself is as good of the art as as writing the original.
I
don't know anything about that. I've never done a translation. So other than, you know, wrote Latin stuff to learn Latin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. When I was 8 years old, I guess I was in the third grade, I read the novelization of Toy Story. I needed to see it.
How was it?
It was just like the movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, it really stayed true to the film. It was, I don't want to say I was underwhelmed. I mean, I wasn't overwhelmed. I was whelmed by the story.
No, I remember being 12 years old, and I really wanted to see Jurassic Park, but, you know, taking our family to the movies was a, you know, very expensive process. We didn't go to the movies much, too many kids. So we'd have to wait till we get the VHS, right? So I started reading. That's what kind of got me reading Michael Crichton books. I wanted to see Jurassic Park so bad that I sat down and read the book. And it was a difficult book for a 12-year-old. I mean, not that it was like really complicated or anything or complex, but, you know, it dealt with like chaos theory and evolution and these concepts that, you know, I read over them. I didn't really know what they were trying to say, you know.
I just want to get to the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I read The Lost World and Jurassic Park, both by the time I was, I don't know. I read The Lost World before it came out, and then...
No, I hate to say it, but Michael Crichton, he was my introduction to sci-fi, and I read all of it. I read... Andromeda Strain, I read Lost World, Jurassic Park, Congo, Sphere, and, you know, I probably would cringe and hate them reading them now, I'm not sure.
I remember the movie was so different, Lost World, there was this scene in the book where the young girl is up there with Malcolm, and they're in this like lookout tower, and there's pterodactyls flying around, like not really fucking with them, but they're just there, right? Their background.
Oh no, that scene was, the pterodactyls were terrifying. They were trying to like go through some kind of.
That was in a different
river.
Book though. That was in the third one, which didn't even have a book.
No. That was in the second. That was in Lost World, where they were stuck in the aviary. With these horrible pterodactyls threatening them.
That was the third one.
In Lost World, 100%, I remember.
In the book or the film?
There were several scenes in the book that made it into the Lost World and then into the later movies.
So you're saying
they kind of pick and grab at the scenes and
the pterodactyls from the third one were from the Lost World book.
Absolutely, yeah, it's true. That scene was very suspenseful in the book, but I think they didn't really have the animation ready at that point to do good pterodactyls, so maybe they saved that for later.
Yeah, that was a weird scene. It was intense and like uncertain.
I remember seeing the T-Rex swim to shore and fuck up L.A. and just being like, okay, this movie is a bullshit joke now.
Yeah.
And I hate this.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing to do with Jurassic Park. This is just an
it
excuse
so
for
ridiculous.
A Godzilla thing, right?
Show us pictures of Ferraris
cheap,
and stuff.
Cheap excuse, yeah.
It was inappropriate because for both books and movies, you're in Isla Nublar, just chilling in the jungle, and now, you know, like we can see Chris Rock play. Like next to the T-Rex.
I don't remember that. But
he's fucking up. Chris,
speaking of Chris Rock, I was thinking about all the comedians that I really maybe influenced me, stand-up comedians, I mean. And we had this talk about Jeff Foxworthy and Adam Sandler, but now Chris Rock, that's another story. As a white kid, this is the first time you really confront race and hear about race, right?
Yeah, Chris Rock was laying it all down on bigger and blacker.
Angry. He was angry as shit.
Yeah. He had to stop doing the one bit.
Which one?
Because white people were coming up to him and being like, you know, you're one of the good ones, man. And like white people were using his bit as a way to like make fun of black people.
I think that even worse than Chris Rock in that regard was Chappelle. And
they were both wise to it.
I don't know how much this got into his head, but you know, he had a lot of his jokes could be turned around from the white perspective into a racist kind of thing, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember the people who liked the Chappelle show, and they were not people that liked black people.
I agree. You know, I remember that very, very strongly, that a lot of the racist white kids would really love Chappelle was their they would be the ones yelling out all the jokes
yeah. The
next day. And that kind of thing as a comedian, you know, we've dealt with that, like with our for instance, the Trump promises to end chemtrails joke, right?
What happened?
That influenced a lot of people to vote for Trump. And the idea was to delegitimize him and to make fun of him. Yet, people latched on to that and took it in a really, and even in a factual fashion or just as a...
It resonated strongly with them.
Right.
They used it. That was their information. That was like what we were talking about. If you just printed that off and gave that to somebody, that was all that they read. No checking it against other whatever. Like, what kind of view of the world?
Well, I mean, who even believes in chemtrails anyway? Which was, I thought, you know, just some strange fringe minority who's totally uneducated and stupid, and we'd all have a laugh. Trump is talking about chemtrails. This is a funny story. Da, da, da. And then after the election, people on The Guardian in this interview saying, yeah, I voted for Trump because I thought he would end the chemtrails, and the chemtrails are ruining my naive attempt at farming, right?
They're up on this structure. They're up on this uncompleted work in progress, up on this fucking, he's up there with the hammer hanging from his belt, and the guy from The Guardian is down below, and he's like, hey, but you know the thing about chemtrails that you were saying is like why you're a doomsday prepper? And the guy says, yeah, what about it? He's like, that's made up. That's not real. He said, they just made it up? He said, yeah, it's a satire site.
The guy's like, well, I'll be darned. That changed my vote.
But it didn't. They were going to do that anyway.
Well, as comedians, you know, we've got a... we got a really hard job here. If I ever knew how bad it could be to be a comedian, just crack jokes and have fun on the internet. If I ever knew where this could take me... You know, we've said this before, kind of like, probably would have reckoned with it and been like, no, I'll just be a straight man. No jokes. No joking on the internet. I'm just going to be totally serious all the time.
What was the point where you were a broken man?
I mean, there was... I don't think there was ever any point. I mean, there are moments I can talk about. You know, you don't like to hear about them, but yeah. There's this guy's like John Thiessen out there and worse who just, you know.
They think they're our friends.
For whatever reason, they become obsessed, right? And worm their way in or maybe whatever and fuck with us. And all we're doing is joking around. And then they think that this is some kind of psyop, right? And we're aligned with some Illuminati, government, CIA, whatever. And, you know,
you can't just do your thing without somebody coming along and interpreting it way differently and wrong and running with it and carrying it away. Like, you could draw a fucking line in the sand and invite 25 kids during recess over to analyze that shit. What did I mean by that line of sand?
Red Rover.
None of them would guess you were just fucking around, just trying to be funny, drawing a line in the sand. Not one of them would say that. They'd say it means this or that.
And some people even do get that it's a joke, yet they still bring all this negativity and fear and hate into it.
Well, those are the people that think that our jokes are more than jokes, that, you know, sometimes they are just jokes and you're not trying to say something deeper, but they are, for them, there always has to be that deeper meaning where we put on our serious face and we look like Sid Barrett tripping on acid.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is satire often, and oftentimes it's not even funny. It's just to say something a little bit deeper and to make some comment that, you know, has a meaning other than the surface appearance. And
and it's very funny.
Yeah, not always. Satire isn't always funny. But what I was saying, all this, you know, if I was able to warn myself, right, 10 years ago and be like, listen, this is what's going to happen for me writing satire. And I listed out all the things, good and bad.
Yeah.
Right? Just imagine. I would just have my jaw wide open and be like, no, this is, that's not right. It could never happen. You know, this doesn't make sense.
Because the situations and the characters that have appeared as a result of this stuff and that came out and came crawling out of the woodwork, and not just in any direction, not towards the sun, but towards us. It's so fucking crazy. I mean, there's a lot of situations and people and uncomfortable things that have happened because we're putting stuff out there.
Yeah, and I guess that just grows with the territory, and it probably doesn't happen if you're totally boring and unsuccessful and nobody reads your shit.
Well, what you were talking about is you can be successful, but you're still fucking boring. You're just a straight man.
Well, I mean, then you're just writing news, right? And that's no fun.
I remember when I got that news job, my first news job, and you were there for it. And I fucking, I had been writing Chronicle real heavy, right up to the news. And then I kicked the news' ass. And then not only was I kicking the news' ass, I would come back home at night and kick Chronicle's ass. So there was this thing where I was like one was feeding the other and they were both getting better. That was the Goldilocks zone, where one thing like fed the other, where I didn't have to be serious newsman all day and I didn't have to.
And outside of the Goldilocks zone, no life can exist.
No. It's cold out here. We're suffering. There's sadness. It's a cold, fucking dark void. No, it's pretty cool. But that's, you know, you're talking about me just pumping shit into the Chronicle. Just this week, it's been 2 weeks now. It's gotten better. It started off really shitty. And, now my writing has already gotten better because I wasn't taking care of it. And
oh, yeah.
The idea is that after this 30 days or however long I carry it out, that my writing has improved somewhat and I can confidently shoot both barrels.
Well, you know what I mean. Well, yeah, and this is that's great that's working for you, but in my writing, you know, if, like, to me, the idea, like, is what Matt, like, that's the rare thing I could never get a grip on is, can I get a good idea for a Chronicles story or not? And if I write it poorly, you know, or if I write it really well and beautifully, I don't, you know, beautiful writing, it's like, I could do that in a heartbeat, but the good idea, the good viral idea that's gonna, not viral, but just the good idea of satire that really strikes at something I think that's important and meaningful. That's what I can never, you can't catch that in a bottle. Like I had a good idea for the Bear Brown thing, Bear Brown Assange thing, but I already forgot it, so maybe it wasn't even that good an idea. But I'm gonna have to leave you on that note.
Kilgore of Chronicle.su, thanks for joining us this evening. This has been an hour of Internet Chronicle Hate Radio. Hey, take it easy, man.
Yeah, that's good. Sounds good, man.
All right.
Glad you're getting in your swing again.
It's working for me.
Oh, that's great. That's great news. Shit,
motherfucker. Chronicle.su is brought to you proudly by Lebel Joker Incorporated. I'm Hatesec. That was Kilgore. And you guys go fuck yourselves.
I will survive without you.
Don't tell